In Revelation chapter 3, I'm going to read verse 17. Well, I'll read verse 16. It goes right along with it. Jesus said, "You are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. I will spew you out of my mouth, because you said, 'I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing,' and knowing not that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." Can you imagine that? They didn't know they were wretched. They didn't know they were miserable. They didn't know they were poor, blind, and naked. How can that be? How can you lose out on God and not know it? We are all acquainted with the story of Samson. He had fooled around with the things of the world until God left him. He didn't know it. He thought in his own mind that he was the strongest man in the world. And he was as long as God was with him. When God left him, he didn't know it until he came face to face with the enemy. He said, "I will go out and shake myself at other times." And he did. And God had left him, and the Bible says he didn't know it. These people here at the Laodicean church didn't know they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And to our Lord, this was a sickening condition. They thought they were spiritually rich, but they were spiritually poor. The church at Smyrna knew they were financially poor, knew they lived in poverty, yet God said, "You are rich." These people in Laodicea knew that they had financial wealth. They knew they had all the luxuries that their wealth could provide for them. Yet God says, "You're poor." How is it that some people equate wealth with spirituality? Some feel that gain is godliness. But let us not forget our Lord's warning about the deceitfulness of riches. It can choke out the word. Riches have choked out the word of many good people. Riches have caused many good people to quench the spirit, trying to act more dignified. Wealth can be overwhelming to the carnal man, the carnal Christian. Wealth can lull you into a place of complacency, a place of comfort. One man said, "Don't give me too much food. Don't give me too much wealth, lest I forget God. Don't give me too little wealth, lest I wind up a beggar or a thief. Give me that which is fit for me, that I may live happy." So what has this to do with us? And who is these scriptures speaking to other than the church at Laodicea? I believe this verse of scripture is talking to some Sunday school superintendent or Sunday school teacher. I believe these verses are speaking to some pastor in his pulpit who thinks he's doing a bang-up job. But he has allowed the things of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, which has caused him to quench the spirit. Things of this world have choked out the word. And now they get up and preach sermonettes to their little Christian nets. And now they're living on a past experience. This scripture is speaking to many ordinary, average, earnest Christians who in their own heart feel they are doing right. But friend, we know that our hearts can deceive us. It appears as though these people were measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves with one another. But friend, if you're a Christian and you want to compare your relationship with God, don't use anybody else. Don't even use the apostles. Use Jesus Christ and His Word, because it is the Word of God. It's what we should be measuring ourselves by, because we will all be judged by the Word of God. So what did the Lord say to a church like this? I give you counsel. Isn't the Lord gracious? He says, you make me sick, but my grace compels me to give you an invitation. He could have turned them into cinders by the breath of his mouth, but it's an invitation to a church filled of lukewarm Christians. When he said, buy of me gold tried in the fire, it reminded me of Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirst, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. So this is the kind of thing you can buy when you don't have money, when you don't have anything, when you have nothing of value to offer, when you're broke and busted and can't be trusted. I know you're saying, wait a minute, if I don't have anything, what do I buy with? The only thing you have is what? Your own wretched condition? So that's all you offer. You come and say, I'll give you me for you. We must remember the Christian life is a revolutionary life. It's the exchange life. Not I, but Christ that liveth in me, my poverty for his riches, my wretchedness for his righteousness, my miserableness for his joy, my blindness for his marvelous light, my nakedness for his white robe. This is what makes Christianity more than a religion. It is the fact that Christ himself is the very life of the Christian faith. And he says, I want you to give yourself to me. You remember what Paul says, I beg you, brothers, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He is saying, give yourself to me, and I'll give you spiritual gold. I will give you spiritual riches. I'll give you that which is pure, valuable, that which is priceless. I will endow you with spiritual riches that you never dreamed of. I'll give you a true and tried and tested faith. For your nakedness, I will clothe you with the robe of my righteousness. For your blindness, I will give you my Holy Spirit to give you spiritual insight into my spiritual written word. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and you will find rest for your soul. Reminds me of that song we used to sing during the altar call, just as I am. So you may ask, what do I have to give for all of his benefits? Give yourself to Christ and do it today.
If you could own all the world and its money, build castles tall enough they'd reach the sky above. If you could know everything gate, still you'd know nothing until you've known God and His love. Has tried.